First Baptist Church of Redmond, October 18th, 2020. Guest speaker, Patrick Noury. Lessons from the Tumbler.
Lessons from the Tumbler. What on earth is a tumbler? Well, here's what we're looking at here. A tumbler is a special environment that helps bring out the beauty in stones. Now, you can see, I think, where I'm going to go with this. I've worked for years with all kinds of stones. Some I have discovered are not very attractive on the outside, but when you cut them open, you work with them, polish them, they come out beautiful. Other stones you'd pass right over. You know, who wants to look at gravel? Gravel is, of course, one of my favorite spots to search because there are little hidden gems in them. And so I have really discovered that bringing out the beauty in stones involves a pretty complicated process. And I thought, whoa, this is very similar to the process that we all go through as believers. And what I've got up here, you can't see them from where you are unless you're sitting right on top of them, but I've got some stages here. I've got some stones that are in the rough, and they're pretty rough. And you'd probably look at them and say, well, those aren't very interesting. And then I've got another stage where they've been somewhat tumbled, but it's not complete. And you can kind of begin to see the potential in those stones. But still, you probably would leave them there. And then I've got the finished product over here. And they're all nice and smooth and shiny. The color is highlighted. The little imperfections have been smoothed and they're highlighted. It's really quite an interesting thing. So I've got those up here. After we're done, come on up and take a look at them. Keep your eyes on the finished product, because that's where God is headed with us. And until we reach that finished product, it's a tough, tough process. So I use this thing called a tumbler. By the way, if you ever decide to get one of these, get only the kind that have the rubber barrels. Because if you don't, you buy the ones with the hard plastic barrels, it'll drive you nuts. These things have to go for about 6 weeks. So it takes a long time to get the stone to where you can put on a real finished product. So we're talking about a special kind of environment. And I think the same holds true with us as Christians. So here's the question. How do you go from this to this? How does that happen? How do you get that done? Or from this to this, where you have peace and harmony. It says the scripture this morning was live in peace with one another. How do you do that? We tend to rely on everybody else doing it when we think, live in peace. Well, I wish John could hear that this morning, or wish Bill could hear that, or wish so-and-so would be here to hear that. And we don't stop to think that that's a command given to us. And so when we think live in peace with one another, that's me to somebody else. Let others take responsibility for themselves. But it's my responsibility to live at peace with one another. Now, the steps for polishing are really similar to the rock tumbler. It does take patience. I often tell parents the rock tumbling is one of the least expensive hobbies for a kid, but it's one of the most frustrating hobbies you can do to a kid, because they want the process to be done in a week. It's the same with us, isn't it? We don't want to put up with this hard, hard lessons that must be learned, and the processes that must be learned in getting rid of some of the rough stuff around us so God can polish us. We don't like that. We don't like to think of that. We don't like to think of the process. We're always looking for ways to shorten it and to kind of, you know, bypass it, or things like this, the secrets to this, the three steps to this. And if they have any more than three steps, you know, you don't want to pay much attention to it. I can remember growing up in our particular church, if the service lasted longer than 20 minutes, I mean, the letters just flowed into the local bishop complaining, you know, just how things just weren't running smoothly. And, well, maybe there's some more that God wants to tell us, and it takes more time. And if we're not willing to take that time and work with him, sometimes we can bypass that tumbling. Now, these stones up here were all found on the beach in Washington here, and so because they're beach stones, they're going to be somewhat tumbled. But they never improve from there. They might get a little more smooth, but they never get the polish on them. Some of them never get polished to the point where they look attractive. And I think it really represents what you and I try to do with ourselves. And maybe we go to a certain point and that's it. We're either satisfied or we don't want to put up with the process. And so they just stay that way. But if we can somehow see what happens in the end, we can set our eyes on that. And I think that helps us get through it. But it does take patience. This is probably one of the biggest needs, I think, among the church today, is patience and perseverance. Those are probably the biggest needs. It's not, you know, more money. It's not more supermen, super Christians. It's not more fancy programs. It's patience and perseverance. And sometimes with each other, patience and perseverance. That's really a need. And the culture we live with today doesn't want to put up with that. Patience is not one of those things that's valued much. And let me tell you, too, it is messy. When you take care of a tumbler, you're really getting into a lot of mess. And you have to be careful where you dump the what we call slurry, because if it goes down your drain, it'll harden and you'll have a very expensive plumbing fix. Pipes get all clogged up and so on. So you have to be careful with the stuff. And you have to keep changing out the... You just kind of take care of the stones. You have to baby the stones and baby the process. It is a messy, messy process. And it's extreme makeover. Some stones you look at and you go, wow, I would have never guessed that that was underneath that surface. But it was a complete makeover. And it's painful. And it's rough, and it's tumble, the tumble of life, rough and tumble of life that's going to smooth us over. Otherwise, we get to this point, everything else is kind of a parenthesis of nothing, and then we go to heaven. And all of these years in between, what have we done with those? What's happened with those? What's actually happened with me through the years? And that's where that tumbling process takes over. So we're talking about really having the right environment where tumbling can take place. And this barrel just turns around and around and around. You can hear the stones in there banging against each other. It's kind of like a church or even a workplace. Wherever you're going to interact with people, you're going to have stones bang around with each other. I don't care whether it's a school, a family. And especially in a family, the kids, the stones, mom and dad, they bang against each other and they do it quite regularly. And there's a lot of pain in that, but it's something that I think God will use. But it's the right environment. And with us, as we think away from the stones or tumbling the stones, the right environment for us are people and circumstances. That's our environment. Whenever we're with people, one of the things that I don't quite know what to do with it, but having been involved with the church now since the early 70s, and been involved with lots of pastors through the years, lots of different circumstances. I was a campus pastor for about 12 years. So I've had, you know, quite the experience working with people. I've worked in different business situations, for big companies to companies I've started on my own. Lots and lots of situations. And I'll tell you, the principles are exactly the same. Doesn't matter whether it's a, you know, whether it's a church situation or a business situation, it's people. And I'll tell you, the circumstances you face too, you all have deadlines to meet. You have things you must do. And like with school, you got homework you got to complete. You've got a calendar you've got to finish. These things can tend to defeat us. We don't like to do things. With little kids, it's more, did you brush your teeth? And well, stop bothering me. You know, did you make your bed? I don't hear that. You know, but it's all of these things. At every phase of life and whatever circumstance you find yourself in, there are things that must take place or life just kind of comes to a stop for you. And the circumstances, my goodness. We face tons of circumstances every day. Some of them are foreseeable, some of them are not. And those are the ones that are really kind of difficult, aren't they? Ones you can plan for, we can tend to figure some things out. But man, when they hit you broadside, that's just part of the fallen world that we live in, isn't it? Life happens, and it's not fun. The irritation sometimes in a church, and this one here, you know, this is someone suggests change in the church service for the Sunday morning. You can see everybody just dies for cover, you know. You don't, and I found too over the years, the church is not a place that enjoys change. I have yet to see a church that thrives on change. They're all wanting things. Don't shift. Nobody changes anything. We've always done it this way. And I'll tell you, those irritations start coming at you. And it not only is a good indicator of your growth, but it's also a good indicator of what God wants to work on with us. And we can see a lot of those. Now, in the tumbling business, it's called grit. The grit comes in different sizes. I'm not sure how many people really realize that, but it comes in different sizes. You start out with real rough grit. Boy, that stuff is hard, and it is rough. And in that process, you lose almost 15% of the stone because it grinds it away and it knocks off the rough edges. And it's amazing what it will do. And then you start getting finer and finer until you get to that stage you've been waiting for, the polished stage. The stuff that wears down the stones so they can be polished. And you can see the on the top of that picture on the right is the rough petrified wood. Some of it is pretty by itself. But I'll tell you, if it's pretty by itself, it's going to be gorgeous when it's tumbled. And if we can keep our minds and our eyes on that finished project, this is where God is going with us. And sometimes it's the only thing that keeps us going is to, so we can keep our minds on the finished product here. With us, you know, when we think about the differences in the stones, some of them are very attractive to people, some are not. It's interesting, kind of in the eye of the beholder. But those differences are what help shape us. And we tend to want to hang around with the people that are most like us. That's not a problem. I think that's a natural thing. But to realize that in the tumbling process in our own lives, we're going to be with people more often than not, with people that are not like us. And I have certainly found this to be true. You know, as life has gone on, Vicki and I have encountered that just year after year after year. Life has been more full of surprises than it has been nice and even, you know, like clockwork. And some people think that's when you have a life that goes nice and even and like clockwork and everything's smooth and stuff, it's a life that doesn't have any sin in it. I haven't found that to be the case, because all of us do. And part of what irritates people is the sin in our lives, isn't it? So some are less attractive than others. Some are bigger sinners than others. My goodness, if we had a church that didn't have any sinners in it, well, you'd think, man, that'd be heaven. Well, that will be one day. There, you know, the sin will be all taken care of, but it still will be filled with sinners. It just will all be taken care of and it won't be showing up. But every one of us at different stages in our lives can have more sin in it than the next person. It never stays static. And there are things, I find that things that were very easy for me when I was younger, when I was a younger Christian, are more difficult now. Sometimes I'll just sit and scratch my head and I'll say, man, I thought I had that in the bag. But it's, again, we live in a fallen world. It's a world that's been corrupted by sin, and we're all victims of it. And this is what God has put us together with, and that's what's going to help us grow here. And it is messy. This is what happens. You know, you start out with clear water and these somewhat pretty stones, and you can see all the slurry stuff in there. It's messy. It's just almost like concrete. And it's the stuff that's been taken off of the stone. That's what makes that mixed in with the grit, makes that slurry, and it is a mess. And you have to scrub all of that out, because putting the stones back into that when it's not clean carries those problems into the next stage of the stone, and the grit is not strong enough to remove it. So you have to go back and you have to repeat a step, and that's kind of like life, isn't it? A lot of steps you have to repeat until you get it. It's just a part of growth. But you can see you can do smooth stones, and then that final product of shiny really is a wonderful thing to see. I've done so much of this that you're looking forward to the polish process, but you know that you got to get the tumbling process right. Or I've run into batches where I've been impatient and didn't really look at the stones before I went in, and that polished batch did not turn out because it was hurried, the tumbling process on the previous end. So I've had to go back and repeat steps. And I thought, wow, that's kind of like our lives, isn't it? So in rock tumbling, to get the best results, you've got to follow the process. And so there are things that are given as, look, do this, don't do this. You know, I put that on my website where you have, here are the 20 things to avoid if you want to, you don't want to make this a frustrating hobby. But our verse in Romans chapter 5, there are some steps in this process that I think if we could grab a hold of, we can experience and experience the benefits of it. So it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that our tribulation brings about perseverance, perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I think if you kind of break this out, you can see some things that are going on. First of all, one word I wanted to just clear up just a bit here, because we tend to get them confused. That's the word exult and exalt. Those are two completely different words. The word exalt means to hold someone in high regard. The word exalt is completely different. The word exalt means to shout in triumph. So when he says we exalt in the hope of the glory of God, it means that this is a triumphant expectation. We're not just praising God for what he's done. This is for us. We will exalt. We will shout in triumph. It's a victory that God has given us in Christ. And that's why he uses the word exalt. But the process starts with peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, and a word literally means to be put right. So it's kind of like you take the decrees that are against you and you erase them all. The penalty's been paid. You are now put right. And that's what that word means. So it means that God has ended the judgment. This is why we don't have to be afraid anymore when we become a Christian. We're not afraid of God anymore. Why? Because the judgment has been taken care of. It's been satisfied. It's the end of the judgment. And a part of the process with each other, I think, is just stop being critical of one another. Being critical in a real negative way is something that is part of our sin nature. And it does more destruction in each other's lives than just about anything. So that's one of those things. I think if we can stop and think, look, I'm at peace with God. Everything's been taken care of. And although God now puts up with me, doesn't he? He walks with me. He knows that I'm human. He knows that I'm a sinner. And he sees all my frailties. And I think the picture of this is what happened in Israel. God walked with Israel. Well, what did he do? Well, each year he had a lamb that was sacrificed. They had the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But he still walked with them for 40 years in all of their sin and all of their corruption and still claimed them. So oftentimes, look, that's enough. It's the third time you've done that, and it's enough is enough. You're gone. You're done. And this is not what God has done with us. Having been justified or having been put right with God, and not just for the past things, but this is our record. The record is clean. It's expunged because of what Jesus did. The end to judgment. This will help us, I think, in our relationships with other people. Stop a minute. Anybody can be critical, but it takes a lot to be building. And that is, that's part of the process, isn't it? And then it says, we were introduced into this grace in which we now stand. So this grace, this, I call it, getting something done through his Spirit. And this is what happened. God got it done through his Spirit, through Jesus Christ. That's the grace we were introduced into. And it's just an introduction. The rest of our lives now, this grace is going to be at work and helping us. It's not something that I think sometimes we struggle. We struggle more with who we're not or who we think we're not than who we really are in Christ. And we get so focused on, I'm not this, I'm not that. And it's not healthy at all. It's God's grace who's getting something done through his Spirit. It's like the tumbling process. That tumbling process is going to keep going until God opens the lid on the tumbler and sees the stones. And if they're not ready, rinses them off, closes it up, and does it again. But he's right there, and his Spirit is working with us. And then he says that our tribulations bring about perseverance. The tribulations are just simply trials. That's what the word is. It's just trials. There isn't anybody who doesn't experience trials in life. It's because our world is fallen. Those are the trials. Those trials with life and with people then go on to do the rest of it. And they bring about perseverance. And perseverance, says, brings about proven character, hope. Now, hope is a different kind of a word in the New Testament. It really is this, you've got the prize set on the end, or on the finish line here. It's there. It's not going to adjust, not going to change, it's not going to shift, it's not going to go away. And as you put your eyes on the finish mark, that promise right there, here, it's right down the track. Just keep going. There it is. It's not like a mirage that fades. We do that in our own culture. When we say we hope, we think, well, it might be, but there's a chance it won't be. That's kind of what we think. And so it's kind of a mirage. We get excited about what we see, but it can fade. And that's different with our Christian lives. The hope that He has given us is something that is there by promise, by virtue of what Christ has done. We're just keeping our eyes on it and we're moving toward it. That's what it is. But it takes perseverance. Now, you can have stones. These ones on the right or the left are pretty, aren't they? They're pretty stones. They're somewhat tumbled. But I'll tell you, the finished product we get, okay, this is what God wants to do. And we see that product on the right and see what He wants to do. And we don't take our eyes off it. We don't see the tribulations as defeating us. That's the mirage. Well, I thought it was going to be this way, or I thought it was going to happen this way. That's the mirage, and it fades. But with Christ, it's not that way. We see what He wants to do, and He's going to do, and He's at work doing it. And we just keep our eyes focused on that. And we learn to persevere through the difficulties and the things that come our way. They're not pleasing. And then as you get older, you know, you wake up every morning with aches and pains and things you never had before. And, you know, those discourage you because now you can't do the things you wanted to do. I tried a few years back. I tried getting up on my roof to do some work up there, and I got to the top of the ladder, and I went, man, I am really not stable. And I used to do this. I mean, I had a roofing business years and years ago. One time I could do that. I can't do it now. And so, you know, you get older, and your limitations get more and more. Things just seem to get harder and harder. And those can actually, those are those trials that can actually cause you to lose your hope so that it's a mirage. When in fact, it's true because of what Christ has done. So we continue. Well, these are just new trials that God has brought into my life to make me something that I couldn't do myself. The refining process takes time, effort. It does take cooperation, cooperation with others and with God. I liken sometimes the tumbler where you hear this knock, you know, on the top of the tumbler, and you open it up and there's a stone that jumps out. That doesn't happen really, but that's kind of the idea. You know, let me out of this process. I want out of this relationship, or I want out of this, you know, this situation. And rather than letting God do His work. So we cooperate with God and with one another. He says, and we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted. All of these are products of just living. Help the weak, be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. You know, this is very interesting. This passage is not spoken to the leaders in particular, or to the deacons, or to those who are in positions of authority. It's spoken to the church. And we urge you, brethren. It's a collective of people that were in Thessalonica. And it was their responsibility to admonish the unruly. And everybody's going to be involved in that. You don't get to a certain point where you can be involved in it. Or you can't say, well, I'm not going to do that. That's a very uncomfortable business. I don't want to be involved in that. But that's part of the growth process. And we'll all find ourselves at one time or another in that kind of a situation. Encourage the faint-hearted. One of the things that's helped me, not only with others, but help others cope with maybe some of the difficult things they're going through, is to realize that what I think part of what makes us faint-hearted is seeing that we see ourselves as different from somebody else. And what has helped me is to realize that you and me are in the same sinking boat. You know, we don't have a boat over here for people who are somewhat good, and the people over here who are saints, you know. And this boat over here is, boy, they're going down. And so you put people with problems, they're over here. And it's the church of the problems of what's happening now, you know. But we're all in the same boat as Christians. We're all in the same boat. And that has helped me so much. I know it's helped others too realize that every one of us are sinners. We sin in different ways. And every one of us have difficulties. We have them in different ways, perhaps. But we're all in the same boat of life. And it's helped me to see that. Part of being faint-hearted is just you want to give up. And this is where it does take encouragement from some others, especially on our part. Help the weak. They ought to have that figured out by now, you know, that kind of a thing. No, help the weak. Be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. These things are part of the process where we're cooperating with God. This is who God is. And it's not our business to winnow out the bad, point out the bad. No, you're not part of things here, you know. No, that's not our job. This requires patience, commitment, and involvement so that the process can work. This is one of the things, I think you see a couple sometimes, and I've performed a lot of marriages in the past, and you see the young couple coming in. Maybe they've had some struggles coming in. They've had some difficulties already, not even married. But they're you can see they're full of life. They genuinely love each other. And then within a couple of years, they just can't stand each other. I've seen this happen more and more. The very things that would help those difficulties in that marriage require patience and commitment and being involved so that a process can work to refine that and to make it shine all the more.